Lisa, it is so fun to talk with you today. Thanks for letting me do this.
Absolutely. I'm so glad you're here in person.
Oh, man.
You're so much fun.
You're a great friend. Well, you get so many emails from great fans of the podcast and the website. And so let's just go through some of the questions that come in. For one, what has Lisa learned after all these years about herself as a result of Boundless?
Yeah, it's funny. And sometimes I feel like I've just like known Boundless my entire life, but I really haven't. I mean, I got acquainted with it probably about 8 years ago at this point, and I was working here at Focus on the media relations team, got to know the guys who were running Boundless and started being in these conversations with them. And they were talking about marriage and about being intentional in marriage and how marriage is biblical. And I was kind of like, well, I'm single and I haven't really thought that much about marriage. So what? So I started asking them questions. And then I started, as I was dating, I would go and like get advice from them, you know, about my dates and discovering that maybe some of these guys that I was dating weren't the best. And I was like, what? You know, well, they're available. What?
Yeah.
And so realizing that maybe I needed to have some better qualifiers. Mm. And so I think I have seen really my attitude change. I mean, I tell people, I simply state it by saying that Boundless has truly revolutionized my view of marriage and how I should approach marriage, even as a single person, and how God values it, how the Bible threads marriage throughout it, beginning and end included, and just how really we need to live all aspects of our lives more intentionally as single young adults, as married people, and just recognize that God has stories for us and he's weaving them and we need to get on board.
Well, I've felt for years that you're like a voice crying in the wilderness, because what you're saying really is revolutionary, because there are so
sometimes
many...
Sometimes just crying.
Yeah.
It depends. It depends on the day.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the many things I love about you, right? But you said, you know, your view of marriage has changed exponentially, but what other ways have you grown personally and by being involved in the ministry?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, it's so funny because I often use this as an example to those who are in college and just starting out of how you truly don't know what God has for you until you are walking that step that day. Because I started out with an English lit degree. I thought I was going to be a professor. Then I doubled my major to communications. I did some work in journalism. And then I did a long stint in PR. And that's what I figured, that's my stuff. That's my wheelhouse. That's what I know. And just through a series of circumstances, I was actually considering another job, considering moving to Kansas City. And I just truly felt, after getting some counsel and after praying about it, that God wanted me to stay here at Focus. And so I was like, okay, I will. And even though I felt like PR had kind of played out, I wasn't really sure where I was and what I was doing, if I should continue. And it was just a few months later that I started with Boundless. And so God kind of opened that door. And I've kind of just told people, you know, as God opens doors and as God reveals to you who you are and what your giftings are, just don't be afraid to walk through them, because sometimes you're going to have great opportunities. Maybe some things you'll fail at. Sometimes you'll be laid off. I mean, people are, and this is the reality of life, but God is always using every one of your experiences to craft you into who you will be. And there's just so much to be learned from that. And I mean, Boundless has been huge. I never thought I would host a show. I never thought I would be public speaking. I never thought all these things I never thought I would do, and just meeting all the great people that I meet through Boundless, it's been so exciting.
That's just so powerful. I heard somebody say the other day that God almost never reveals his great plan for us in one big unveiling. He does it one faith step at a time, and you just modeled that by going, okay, what's my next step? Kansas, stay here. And he didn't unveil it all at once, but you walked closely with him enough to know the next step. And I'm thinking of that person going, I want the big unveiling, and or this calling is hard. I know that you're no sissy. I know that every day hasn't been easy, but I really think that is where and when we grow. So how have you grown as a woman, as a Christ follower, but also as a leader of a major ministry through the bumps and the knocks and just the daily obedience?
Yeah, I think primarily, I mean, the biggest thing for me that I've noticed is how I have been able to connect with the audience through just being real. You know, when I started hosting the show, and the guys who ran Boundless at the time were such great guys and had so much wisdom, but they were married and had kids, you know, and they were kind of like moved a little bit beyond. And so they spoke kind of as mentor voices. When I started with Boundless, I was right in the fray with everyone else. I am single. I am walking through the world of dating and all of its weirdness. I was, you know, struggling with my career. I was trying to balance my family and figure out how I relate to them. And so that's always the voice that I've tried to be here at Boundless, is I am just with you. I mean, some of our listeners, I'm maybe a few steps ahead because of age or life experience, but I just feel like I have learned how to trust God in circumstances when I don't know what may be thrown at me. I've learned that God can use me in any season of life. Like right now, it is as a quote unquote career woman or whatever he wants me to do. I still hope for marriage. Maybe that'll be another season. And so just recognizing that God has good stories for us and good things for us, and we just have to be willing to wait for them and see them as they come.
You know, that's one of the things that I so love about you. You know, you have two kinds of speakers who are speaking. You have some who got their message, they Googled it, you know? They're relaying somebody else's hard-fought battle message. And so they've got the outline and they sort of just, you know, Googled it and then they're relaying it. Then there's the speaker who imparts life because they're drawing from the depths of their soul because they've had to live it. Mm-hmm. And you've had to live it. And so what comes out of you is so compelling because it's truth. And so when I think about that, that's where the fruit is, I think, for you as I watch you, Lisa. And again, people can stand on the outside looking in going, she's so popular, she's so well followed, and that's all true. But you have the daily grind, and you have to daily deal with some of the things. And one thing you said even before the interview is just a situation that came up that reminded you once again, I'm single, and I don't have someone next to me to carry mm-hmm. this load. Maybe just speak to that about one of the hardships, really, of being single and not wanting to be.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many hardships. I mean, it's like, my life is so terrible. No, I mean, I'm not saying that. But I mean, there really are hardships that I think a lot of it is just so many of the pains that I feel and I hear from boundless folks as well are birthed primarily out of misunderstandings and people who just don't understand us and don't understand the path that we're walking. And case in point, the example I was sharing with you was just an email I had sent to someone in leadership in my church and had asked a question and had just gotten this short response and felt very just kind of ignored and kind
dismissed.
Of like, yeah, dismissed. And kind of, it was just again, like, I am not your priority, you know, and I've often told people and, you know, this is something that I write about often and tell people when I'm trying to get them to understand what singleness is like, especially for a single woman, is to understand, to reconcile that on this earth, I am no one's most important person, you know, and that's hard. I mean, it's like, you know, people that have spouses, you know, they have, oh, I knew I would cry.
That's all right.
people have spouses and who know like what it's like to have that person who has to wrestle through this stuff with you and be with you in life. And, you know, like I've jokingly, let me regain my composure. Okay. Like I've jokingly told people, you know, here on the show about this time when my fence was all broken down and I had to get it fixed. And I'm like, I don't know anything about fences. I don't even know fence companies. I don't know what needs to be fixed. I don't know if I call and get a quote, if I'm going to be ripped off, you know, or whatever. But it's like there's no one else in life that has to worry about my fence. You know, there are well-meaning people that want to say, oh, I can refer you to someone who can fix your fence. But no one has to worry about that fence getting fixed. And so I think that's something that like single people can feel very alone in and just like doing life by themselves. And, you know, there's something to be said for the companionship of marriage and the accountability of marriage and being in a relationship where you just know that that person is going to know you from beginning to end. They're going to walk with you. And obviously, you know, under God's design, they're going to stay with you. And so I think like just wrestling with that kind of stuff and realizing that, wow, okay, you know, I mean, here we throw around, whether it's on the Focus on the Family daily broadcast or whether it's on Boundless or wherever, we always say, you know, well, you have to have your identity in Christ first. You know, no husband's going to complete you. No wife is going to meet all your needs. No this or that. And that is something that the singles, I think, learn through the school of hard knocks because that is so true for us. We do. We have to rely. I mean, Christ is the one who has walked my entire story with me, with the exception of my mom, bless her heart. She's been there for a lot, but she doesn't live with me now, so she doesn't see me day to day. But to just recognize that I do truly, my hope is in the Lord. That's who it has to be in, because I can't rely on anyone else, and I'm a living example of that.
You know, and that's a truth, but it's still a hard-fought truth. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for a married person to say, get your identity in Christ. It's still a truth, but, you know, I struggle with some constant health challenges as a result of Lyme disease. And I can't, if I had a dime for every healthy person who said, you know, you got to trust in God and just be thankful for what you do have. Okay,
right?
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But you still don't know what you're talking about. Because
yeah.
It's hard when things go bad for me health-wise,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And I have a girlfriend who's a single mom. And her electricity went out. And again, nobody stepped up. And she was crying on the phone to me going, I don't want to care about electricity, but I have to.
Right.
And that is a reality. And I know this was hard for you, Lisa, but I appreciate you being so honest, because we, you know, those of us who are married have to remember that you do carry an extra burden. You just absolutely do. And we've got to walk
Well, it's so true, Susie, because I too have health challenges. I have rheumatoid arthritis. And I've often thought to myself, when I can get really, you know, in a negative downward spiral about it. And especially now as my mom has aged, and I'm seeing my mom walk through this with the benefit of having six children and daughters who care and are in her life and who are caring for her and managing her appointments. You know, I was visiting her over Christmas, and it just struck me, who will do this for me? Mm. And it was a very sad moment and a very alone moment. And it was so great to have a friend of mine who really encouraged me by saying, Lisa, you don't know. First of all, you don't even know what your future is. You know, you don't know that you're going to be in that situation. So that was a good wake up call, because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm just like one foot in death's door, going to my own bad place. But she said, also, you don't know that God's not going to place specifically on someone's heart in the church that you're at that time to care for you and to be that person and to step in. And it's not, you don't have to say, I don't have children of my own and I don't have this story and I don't have the benefit of this, because we're not guaranteed anything, truly. You know, and so what does it look like for me to hope in God as my provider, and how he provides can work out any number of ways. And so that's where I have to understand his goodness in my life and recognize that the story is yet to be scripted as to how it's going to play out.
And you know, even married people, we have to remember this. Our hope is in God, not in man. Mm-hmm. And so it is, again, a hard-fought truth, but so important. Well, I'm going to switch gears, if you don't mind, because I know this question comes at you often. How do you handle the popularity?
I just don't even believe it. That's kind of how I handle it, first of all. I mean, it's so weird, because I think, you know, every week when I come down here, it's just, I just feel it's me and some friends sitting in a studio and talking about our lives, you know, and I don't realize that now the show is getting almost 400,000 downloads a month, and there are people out there listening, and we hear from them, and it's just weird. And I feel like there are a couple of moments where I've had that weird sense of how I knew what Dr. Dobson used to feel like when people walk up to him and they feel like they know him and feel like they're his, you know, dad and stuff. And I've had that as I've traveled, you know, when Boundless fans come up and they're like, Lisa, remember 6 months ago on the show when you said, and I'm like, no, I really don't. I just always feel like I'm just in a conversation and just whatever. And when I was traveling, it was a few years ago, I was out in London, and just a group of Boundless fans pulled together this meetup, and there were 20-some of us, and hey guys, if you're listening, and we got together, and one of them just talked about, you know, how she was so excited because she had friended me on Facebook, and I accepted her friend request, and then I just posted on her wall, and I said, hey, thanks for the friend request, and I'm so glad you listened to the show, and just stay in touch, and she said, I just couldn't even believe that you wrote on my Facebook wall. She said, I couldn't even believe it. And I said, well, you know what? You know, I host Boundless. I don't host Oprah. And and she was so cute, because she said, but you're our Oprah. And
oh,
it was just so cute.
It.
Just that connection. I mean, I just think it's by virtue, again, of the fact that I just want everyone to know that I'm a normal person and I'm walking through the stuff that they're walking with. And I just happen to talk about it to a lot of people. But, you know, it's funny. People will recognize me by my voice, you know. And you know, sometimes when they come to visit Focus, if I'm walking through the hall and they've set up an appointment to come see Boundless or whatever, they're like, I knew it was you. I heard you in the hall. And it's just cute and it's fun. And, you know, I hope I don't see myself, you know, building any mansions anytime soon or being like, you know, needing restraining orders. So that's good. I still talk to anyone. I still, you know, go to their homes if they might be. It's just, it's all good.
You know, another thing too, I know about you, is your walk with God is something you take very seriously. And I'm sure that's what keeps you so grounded, as you know who you are and whose you are. And I think that's a powerful
thing. Oh, yeah. And my friends are so cute. You know, I have single girlfriends that are just like, you know, we knew you before no one else knew you, okay? And so they'll jokingly say, you know, everyone just thinks that you're all great and stuff, but I know that yesterday you said this and you were angry about this and you were so good friends and good family members also keep it real.
So, so good. Well, has your perspective on singleness and marriage changed over the years?
Yeah, I would say it definitely has. And it, you know, has just in a couple different ways. One, you know, I would say is that singleness, and this is so thematic through Boundless, is, you know, it used to be kind of this idea of, well, you know, of course I'm going to get married someday. It was just the assumption that, you know, it'll happen, of course, and it's fine. And in the meantime, I'm just doing life, and that's good. But I think I never realized that God truly does use both our singleness and our marriage to craft who we are again, and to really grow us and teach us and sanctify us. And there is sanctification in the season of singleness, and there is in marriage. You know, and we often say, oh yeah, well, that person needs to get married because they need to get over themselves or whatever. And God can do that for single people as well. But I think truly to understand, one of the things about marriage I think that has changed for me is this idea that this is not going to be some end goal. It's not going to be something where my life is going to start now when I get married, because then, wow, what have all these years been? But it's going to be something maybe that God uses differently, or God has brought me and then this person. I think it'll be revealed at that time maybe what that whole purpose was. But also to just recognize that, you know, and I love how many people have said this. Gary Thomas has said it. Tim Keller said it. You know, John Piper said it, that marriage is not about me anyway. I mean, any relationship we're in, it's about the Lord anyway and what he's going to do through that. And so for me to just get over myself and not be, I'm not going to bring anything amazing to the table. I'm not going to bring anything horrific to the table. It's going to be two sinners. We're going to be serving the Lord. And that's exactly who I am now. I'm a sinner serving the Lord in the capacity that he's given me to do. And relationships, you know, I want them to be important to me. I want them to be part of my life, and I want to grow through them. And vice versa. And God does that in so many different ways.
Such a healthy, wonderful perspective. You know, I know for me as a writer and speaker, whenever I'm tackling a topic, I sort of go through the meat grinder first. You know, I mean, God really drives it home into my soul in such a deep way. And I'm wondering for you, I mean, you've had to wrestle out with and come up with a biblical stance on these different topics, and you do so well. But one of the questions that came in is, had you not gotten involved with Boundless in 2008, who do you think you would be? Do you think you'd be a different person with a different perspective? Has being forced to reconcile some of these things changed you in that way?
Yeah, I think it has. And it's weird because I think people think of me as some kind of like expert on relationships. And I'm like, wow, if you looked at most of the relationships I've been, you probably wouldn't even listen to a word I say. But that's, I think, just a great example of how it's entirely God working through me, and how he's taught me every step of the way the stuff that I'm telling everyone as I do it. So, I mean, I think I would say it's interesting because I look back on my 20s, and I've described them even on the show as kind of a weird wasteland where I felt like there wasn't, and I know being a 20-something is hard anyway. You know, we're making a lot of decisions about life. We're trying to find ourselves. And I pretty much took the good whole decade to do that. I didn't go on the fast track. I moved around a lot. I took a lot of jobs. I tried to find really where I should be. And so I think as I've grown, it's been a lot of just settling into who I am. And that's one thing I really appreciated about my 30s, is just finally coming to rest in like, okay, Lisa, this is what you're about. This is what you're good at. This is not what you're good at. And just be okay with that, and to feel like I kind of came into my own and that I was confident with who I was and what I was doing. One of my sad things is that I wish that my dad could have been around to see that, because he died when I was 30. And so he kind of, I was still in a weird restless phase then, just kind of starting to get my feet under me. And I think he always kind of wondered, wow, you know, is she going to turn out okay? I'm not really sure, because she seems to be a little scattered. And so I think there's been a lot about, you know, my 20s moving into my 30s, where I've just grown and matured, and in so many ways. I mean, it's like 12 shows worth of like in how I treat men, how I view men, how I treat my sisters in Christ, how I treat my family, how I honor my mom, how I serve in the church. I mean, it's just been, it's been drinking from the fire hose.
So good. Would you say that your being part of Boundless has helped you reconcile your singleness even now and shaped your perspective on why you're not married yet?
It has, because I think I went, I mean, I guess in two different ways. I've been kind of very, you know, having vastly disparate views. In my 20s, it was very much like marriage is in the future. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I really didn't think about it at all. And then I went through a season in my 30s where it was extremely like, if I don't get married, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know. Why isn't this my story? What is wrong with me? A lot of self-doubt, a lot of frantic feelings around relationships and around marriage. And I feel like now, just in the last year or two, I've kind of come to this peaceful place of really understanding. And it was another great girlfriend who helped me see this. She, you know, she was talking about praying for me. And she said, Lisa, I wish I could just say, you know, oh, you're going to get married, you know, I mean, how everyone, you know, all the platitudes that people give you, you're so great, of course you're going to get married. And she said, I honestly can't say that. I don't know that that's in your future. I don't know what that's going to look like. And I think once I realized that, once I realized that I need to stop scrambling and frantically wishing for and being worried about whether or not this will be part of my story, because so far it hasn't been and it's not how I would have scripted it. But I do realize that there are many things. I mean, I also would have never been probably involved with Boundless had I gotten married and had I moved down a different journey. So it's kind of like it's made me recognize that where I am right now is where I need to be. And not that I don't, I need to live where I am now intentionally and be content in that and trust God in it, but also be hopeful for the future, be intentional about the future as well, and be open to what God may bring. And to not just say, I'm single and loving it, and I'm going to be this, you know, feminist icon who's going to be all about the women and stuff like that. But to recognize that marriage could be a good thing for me too. And I need to have an open hand when I look at it that way.
Wow, such an amazing perspective. It reminds me of the scripture that says, godliness with contentment is great gain. To me, godliness is that forward moving faith, walking with the Lord, but embracing faithfulness in the now, going, I'm not made for this place, but I'm going to steward it until I see where he brings me next.
Yes.
And that is powerful. Well, this would be a great place to give this follow-up question from one of your many fans and friends. And this is the question. Who do you tend to blame the most for your singleness? Or who do you think is most responsible? Yourself, God, your parents, etc.? That's a loaded question.
It is loaded. The short answer is I blame my 20s on myself, my 30s on men, and now as I'm heading into my 40s, I'm blaming it on God. I'm just like, that's where it is. That's where I'm putting it. No, I don't know. I mean, I think, and this is a weird tension too, because I think that there is some blame to be had for where we are culturally with the way we view marriage, both individually and corporately. I think there are reasons why we have protracted singleness in our culture, especially among the Xers and millennials. I think there are reasons why we have divorce at the rate we do now. And I think it's problematic. And I think we need to look at that and take responsibility for it. At the same time, I can't sit there and say, had I done this when I was 26, I would certainly be married now. I mean, that is like crazy making for me to sit back and parse everything in my life and think that, oh, I mean, I made all these crazy mistakes and I need do-overs and I need to fix that. It's just not possible. I mean, it could, why am I single now? It could be because of maybe some weird choices I made in my 20s, you know, and I do realize that I made some missteps and that I did, you know, act weird. And I mean, I was in a Christian college, for crying out loud. If I can't find a guy there, what, you know, you know, and I've had people tell me that. But at the same time, I have to recognize that it also could be because God just has not wanted me married yet. And I need to be okay with that. And I need to recognize that I will not know this story until I see him face to face. I will not see that back, you know, backside view of everything and how it all worked together. And so I think it's, you know, again, that tension of just recognizing that, you know, yeah, there's some blame. There are things that I could do differently. I don't just want to sit back and throw my hands up and be like, well, it's just in God's hands and I need to just whatever. And meanwhile, I'm just, you know, sitting at home with an Afghan over my legs watching romantic comedies. I mean, that's not okay. But at the same time, I need to be like, you know, I can't sit here and beat myself up for decisions that were made, decisions that weren't made, and anything that could come.
Boy, great insight. You know, as a mom of three sons who are grown now, I think this applies to your situation as well. But we so often want to make a formula out of things. And something God has shown me is I'm not bound by a formula. Your life is an offering. And if you just offer it up in faith, the good, bad, the ugly, the mistakes, I'll work all things together for the good. And that is so helpful, because I think if we do the formula that we think works and it works for us, we are a terrible comfort to somebody who did the same thing and it didn't work for them. You know what I mean? You become like Job's friends. What you ought to have done, you really blew it back then, and God can't redeem that. That's dangerous thinking.
Yeah. And there are some, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, if I could go back and relive portions of my 20s, there are some things that maybe I would change given the opportunity, including some very bad fashion choices, but and maybe some haircuts that maybe kept me single. I'm not sure. But no. But at the same time, I see it all as what it is, and I see it as, again, it allows me, and again, I've been in relationships within the last 5 years that I'm like, why was I in that? Why can't I do that over, you know? But again, it's like, walk through it and God, trust God in it and trust God for my past as well as for my future and know that he's, for some reason, working through that even now.
And I think just what you just said is going to be of great encouragement to so many people, because we beat ourselves up if we don't do the formula. I think it's just dangerous thinking. Mm-hmm. So now switching gears again, a little more personal, as if we've not been personal enough as it is.
Oh, great. Yeah,
here it comes. You have a lot more to your life than Boundless, this listener asks. What excites you and what fills your free time?
Yeah, and this is so funny because it's like, honestly, I feel like even when I'm sitting, when I'm going out with friends, especially when there are new people in the group or whatever, they'll find out that I work for Boundless, or they'll learn that I talk a lot about dating, and all of a sudden it's like their dating lives are on the table, and I become this like weird, you know, I'm like the person that everyone wants to bring along to coffee to just answer questions. So it's really weird. Yeah, so I try not to get into that role too often. When I'm not doing Boundless, when I'm not working, which is, you know, thank goodness, you know, I try to keep it balanced pretty well. But I just got involved here in town in a church plant. So that's been really neat to recognize. And of course, we're excited about this heading into a fall campaign with Boundless, where we're talking about the importance of the local church. It is so necessary for families and for single people to be involved in your local church, and people that know you and love you and care for you and are going to be keeping you accountable. So I've now done that on a small level. I went from a big church with a lot of structure and a lot of programs to now just like we set up chairs and we have this one sound guy and I'm in the nursery every few Sundays. And so it's kind of all hands on deck, and it gives me a great spirit of community to be part of that. And when I'm not doing that, I'm still in touch with my family a lot. I like to keep up with them. I travel a lot, both to visit them, and I am really cultivating friendships with girlfriends in that sense. And so I do that. And just for fun, I love to travel. I love to hike. I run just pretty much to counteract my love of pastries for the most part and chicken tikka masala. So I stay busy. Mm. It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good life.
Yeah.
So what are there any misperceptions, assumptions that you get a sense that people have about you that you would like to dispel right now and say that's just not accurate?
Yeah, well, first of all, if this hasn't been dispelled, I think truly people have not even been listening to the show. But I have so many people that think a couple things. One, that I have it all together. I've been, like, so many people just think, you know, well, Lisa, you know, you don't make missteps and you haven't had a hard life and you have so much confidence, you have so much, you know, whatever. And they just assume that, Lisa, your life is just so great. You know, you'd alluded to it a little bit, Susie, but that's so not true. And it's funny because I tell people that actually I'm pretty much a borderline introvert, actually, which I think people find it hard to believe because I'm so like on the show. Mm-hmm. But I really do like to go and recharge kind of by myself. Now, I can certainly be on when I'm on, and I'm very interested in people and I love talking to people and love doing stuff. But I'm not this person that's just, you know, take the whole world by the horns and be like super, you know, I'm not, like I said, I think people just think I have it all together and I don't. And that is so not true. And so stop thinking that, people.
Yeah. And you're so right, because you do say that so honestly, but it's like nobody hears that because they hear your content and your confidence and your conviction. And
yeah.
So, well, what are some things that are on your bucket list that you still hope to do one day?
Well, a big one right now is I am working on a book, and I'm just like, Lord, can you just help me write this thing and get it done? And it really is kind of the book that I feel I have spoken about 500 times. It's what I always tell people when they ask me about my story, when they ask me advice on dating and relationships. And it's kind of like one of those things that I wish I just didn't have to say the same thing over and over again. So finally, I've decided to try to put it on paper. So that is one thing that I'm looking forward to finishing and being able to kind of put out there. I would also love to learn the guitar. And I've told people, you know, not in like this amazing, like I'm going to be this amazing guitarist. I like to learn a few chords and be able to like, you know, strum around a campfire. So, but I've never been able, I played the flute for years and years and I still play that. But I've just thought that would be something fun to do. And there are so many, I mean, I guess I'm just learning about a lot of things that are out there that are just, I mean, again, through the show, I've been able to elevate a lot of great ministries and just what people are doing that's just amazing in ways. And I think anything that God opens up for me to do, whether it's encouraging other people along or helping, you know, gain some recognition for great things other people are doing or get involved in some of those things myself. I mean, I'd love to see that in the future.
So good. When you look at the journey God's had you on thus far, here's another question. How has being single made you stronger, and how has it maybe affected you in a negative way?
Mm-hmm. I would say it's made me stronger in allowing me to truly become resourceful. I mean, there are a lot of things that I've had to learn and had to be able to accomplish and do because I'm single and because I now own my own home and I kind of, have finally stopped paying someone to do my taxes. I figured out how to do it. All that kind of stuff, just life kind of things, I think. I think also I've been able to take in a lot of people's stories, by virtue of being able to meet so many different people as a single person, because I don't have that family to focus on. So I develop a lot of different relationships. And I just love, our listeners know this, I love the elderly and I love mm-hmm. talking to older people and I love ministering to them and spending time with them. And so just getting those perspectives. I think there's a lot of opportunity in that. One of the downsides for sure is I'm in a constant battle against selfishness. I mean, I can manage my own time, my own money, my own wants, my own. I can, if I'm not into a particular person at this time or they're bugging me, I can walk away and go shut my door in my home and just forget about them. And I think marriage provides such a great kind of little petri dish for, really great sanctification and for getting into the hard things. And for me to really be real with people, it has to be a very intentional process. And so that's one of the downsides of singleness that I think a lot of people don't recognize.
That's amazing. Your insights are amazing, really, Lisa, when I think about, don't take this the wrong way, but as someone who's not married, to understand what happens in marriage and what it does for your character and to your character. I mean, you've got such a grasp. I mean, really, you're going to be an amazing wife someday. I'm just saying.
Thanks. So, well, I keep learning from people. Yeah. It's so great because I keep, and that's, I tell our folks that all the time, is that don't just think that you're single now, so all you do is hang out with single people. Constantly be looking to that next stage, and you need to have other people in your life who are married and other people who, have walked through other things so that you're always getting that perspective.
Lisa, what are your hopes and dreams for the future of this podcast?
Well, obviously, Susie, I have dreams, and I'm having to cast vision for young adults here at Focus and for this department and for Boundless. And of course, we have to worry about all that kind of stuff. I would love for this podcast to grow in numbers. I would love for more people to be introduced to it. I would love for more people who do not know Jesus to be introduced to it. Just people who straight up need some dating advice or who a friend tells them, hey, you might want to check this out. These are pretty normal people who are walking through some stuff. We are actually, we found out that Boundless was number one in decisions for Christ among all of Focus's ministries.
Wow.
As far as the people that are in our sphere and who are making decisions for Christ or making spiritual decisions around their life. So that's been a huge privilege for us. I would like to continue breaking new ground. I think we do that topically. I think we do it by being so quick in our turnaround and by really being willing to talk about hard stuff. Mm-hmm. We try to be real. And one of the other things that I really have to do is look about, the future of the show. Like, who will be the next host? I'm not going to be around here forever, people. Okay. So, I want to be cultivating and pouring into other people as well. People that can be an influence and people that can speak to these issues for the generation to come.
Well, you're real visionary. I have one last question for you. Who would be your dream person to interview?
I kind of have two. I still am determined that Martha is going to get me John Piper at some point.
Sure.
He was my pastor for a while. I think it would probably turn into a personal counseling session because I would just be like, Dr. Piper, please tell me about that. He's one of those guys that there aren't many people that intimidate me. He kind of intimidates me because I just feel like every time he looks at me, he's like, oh, Lisa, sorry that you're just not very spiritual and you don't know anything about scripture and you don't know. I just feel like, whoa, why do I just feel so weird with him? My other person is Elizabeth Elliott. Mm-hmm. I would have, and I know that because of health, she doesn't do interviews anymore. And that is a huge sadness to me because her life, her story, her ministry, whether Passion and Purity, the other things she's written, her story about life in South America and just all that she walked through has been a huge encouragement to me. So that's one big loss that I've had to reconcile to myself.
Well, Lisa, first of all, thank you for investing your life in the hearts of singles, because
thanks.
What you're doing is preparing people for marriage. So you're investing in marriage as well. But for investing so much of your soul and yourself and being so honest about your journey, it's a beautiful thing. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Susie, for being willing to ask the questions. Mm-hmm. It's been good.
Great
but
to be
hard.
With you.
But
yes,
good.
You did great. God bless you, hon.